feel it, again and again. I've already been doing it, but take it up another notch. Not only am I planting seeds, I'm giving them the nourishment they need. Loving myself is power, but it's not a one-time thing. Just like workouts, it must be done consistently, perhaps for as long as I live. But so what? If this is a solution, it's a damn good one. I am worth the magic that will result. 56. Time to grab the reins on my health. My friend who texted is putting together a program for me. But rather than waiting, I go visit Matt Cook, the best regenerative medicine physician in the country. Of all the doctors I saw last year, he's the only one who got me results. We run through tests, showing that I've improved since I last saw him. Most importantly, my state of mind is proactive rather than reactive. This helps with healing. While there, I end up chatting with Lisa, a kind nurse who works hard, making sure all the patients are comfortable. But there is pain in her eyes. Her son died of a heroin overdose months ago. I can't even imagine her pain. It would be like a forest fire compared to my matchstick. But it also reminds me of something. Everyone knows pain. It may come in different forms or at different times, but it comes. It's a fundamental part of the human experience. Pain doesn't make me unique. It makes me human. And no matter what I'm experiencing, I'm not alone. Plenty before me have been through it. As a Roman poet said, I am a human being, therefore nothing human is foreign to me. Surprising myself, I tell her what I'm going through, even the fantasies about my friend's handgun. She sucks in her breath, shows me her arm, goosebumps. I'm no longer there, I tell her. Those thoughts passed. She gives me a long and tight hug. The thoughts startled me when they came. I'd worked through things and figured that they were long behind me. But perhaps suicidal thoughts are no different than an addiction. You can leave it behind, but if you trip into a dumpster full of drugs, temptation will rear its head. The solution is to create new groups so powerful that even if the old patterns emerge, they are weakened. They don't last long, and the new groups make sure you don't stick that damn needle in. 57. I spent time with Barb, Matt's practice manager. She's a wise woman who's had multiple organ transplants and beat every doctor's prediction to live an active and healthy life. She's also a Qigong practitioner and offers me a session. I take it. One who loves himself accepts the help offered. I lie on a massage table while she works on me. I close my eyes, drift off. Somewhere in that space between sleep and wake, I feel like I've just died and I go meet God. God is a bright light in a vast and empty space. I drift closer to the light. How is life? God asks. Pretty good, I say. Then, thank you. I mean it. Not good enough, God says. The light turns into a shiny brick wall reaching up to the sky, blocking me further. Go live great, God says. 58. Dreams have a way of illuminating just how deep the rabbit hole goes. After a rug flip day, I had the very first nightmare of my life. I was being tortured by an unknown executioner while people stood around and watched. I woke up gasping out loud. How could this happen? If I was crafting the story as fiction, I'd label the dream as too dramatic. Nah, I tell myself as I edit it out, definitely cliche. But your subconscious meets you where you're at. I used to be proud of the fact that I never had nightmares. So much for that. Looks like everyone has a point where their safety snaps. This heartbreak was mine. But even in this web are strands of gold. I loved her. I really loved her. One time I said to her, I don't just love you today. I love you 30 years from today. I loved her from the inside out. This I knew to my core. Be proud of being a man who could love his woman so deeply. I slowly wake and tell Barb that I died in my dream. Then this is your rebirth, she says. Dreams may show that you're falling, but they also show when you're on your way up. 59. It's night. I sit in the darkened living room and stare out the window. Oakland sparkles across the bay. Most nights, container ships slide by, lit up like Christmas trees. Tonight, there is no movement. I place my hand on my heart and say to myself softly, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I am speaking to myself, of course, but there is another layer. The current me is speaking to a younger me. I did an exercise long ago where I imagined going back to the child who was molested. In one version, I saved him and ripped the molester's head off, literally. In another, I went to the child who was hiding in shame and held him and promised him that I'd protect him. I did various versions, but in each, it was the man that I became returning to save the child. In essence, saying to him, I got you. I won't let anyone hurt you. I did this with other parts of my childhood, other memories. All such exercises help, but I've learned that they're not one-offs, fixed and done with. The psyche is just too nuanced. I need to reinforce whatever healing I experience, make it a consistent practice, or better yet, fold it all into one practice that covers everything, and that is love. 60. There's something I need to do that I've been putting off. That's okay, because I was in survival mode, like the body shifting blood from extremities to vital organs. But to move to the next level, I must do this. Forgive myself. For all the ways I failed, for all the ways I could have been better, for all the mistakes I made, for all that I'm holding against myself. Time to drop the weight. Let it go. So, I do. I grab a notebook and write down sentence by sentence whatever comes. Each, I start with, I forgive myself for. I do this until there's nothing left. Then, I read it out loud to myself several times, feeling the weight of what I've been carrying. Finished, I lace up my boots and head down to the Marina Green. There, I sit on the steps leading down to the water and add to the list. What surprises me is that more than just what I've been holding against myself from recent events comes up. Turns out, there was a deeper layer. But I had to go through this to discover it. I finish with these sentences. I forgive myself because I love myself. I forgive myself because I deserve love and joy and compassion and a magnificent life. I forgive myself because life loves me. I read the whole thing out loud until something inside shifts and I know I'm done. I tear the sheet out. Then, I hop down to the rocks, find one that catches my eye, and wrap the paper around it with an eye shade from a flight. The whole package feels hefty and solid in my hands. I stare out at the bay. Golden Gate Bridge to the left, Alcatraz to the right. The infamous prison island glows under the setting sun. But the greatest prison ever created wasn't built with stone and cement. It's the mind. I fling the package out to the water, watch it plop, and it's gone. Just gone. Then, I do the 10 breaths. But instead of the usual, I say, thank you, with each breath, and feel light naturally enter from above. Something has shifted. Rather than trying to make the light enter, I'm receiving it. I walk away, boots stomping on the sidewalk with purpose. 61. I'll have to do this exercise in the future many times. The nature of being human means that I'll most likely fall short of who I can be. But that's okay. The more I love myself, the less gunk I'll accumulate, the less I'll have to let go of. Think of yourself as a shoot that breaks through the earth and rises up. Then plateaus, then rises and eventually plateaus again. The pattern repeats. It's through loving yourself that you rise. It's through forgiving yourself that you overcome the plateaus. You grow and improve, inching closer to the light, to the greatest you. 62. Outside the gym, I call a friend in New York. Last time we spoke was the day after Rug Flip. I fill him in on what I've been up to, this obsessive focus on loving myself. It's wild, he says. You seem so different. How long has it been? I have to think hard. Feels like a lifetime ago. 3-ish weeks? Your voice is different, he says. It's like you're powerful or something. That's funny, I say. Power is a word that's been a focus lately. Talking to you, he says, it's like you're radiating it. I wouldn't go that far, but it's a nice thought. Still hard, man. Just day by day. He says, then is quiet for a moment. If you'd been like this when she pulled that on you, what would you have done? I don't even have to think. I tell her that I deserve better and that we should work it out together. Because we still love each other. We owe what we have that. But if she didn't want to, then I let her go. With love. I'm an amazing man and her choice is her thing, not mine. My turn to be quiet. And I sure wouldn't have let it create or trigger insecurities. I'd focus on who I am and just be that. Sounds powerful to me, he says. I feel like I've been slapped awake, I tell him. Like all this gunk's been ripped off. My headaches are gone. I'm being proactive about my health, doing whatever it takes, and I'm getting better fast. I can feel it in my body. That is loving yourself, he says. I get off the phone and watch traffic go by. Yes, I'm loving myself. Yes, I'm starting to feel my power. And it all feels good. But it's tinged with sadness. I miss the way she'd relax into my arms when I held her. I miss those simple moments of loving her, and her loving me. I let the missing wash over me. Letting myself feel is also loving myself. Then I walk into the gym and give the weights all I've got. 63. I wake up with the thought, I wonder what good I will experience today. It rises from nowhere. Just a gentle knowing that this is how life is becoming for me. 64. What made this whole thing harder was that I didn't see it coming. Maybe she told me and I didn't listen. Or she just blew a fuse. Or maybe it really did come out of nowhere. Whatever it was, that's that. And here I am, another morning, staring out the window at the bay. Gray clouds moving fast. The water an almost bluish green. Masts of moored sailboats swing hard in the wind. I think of death again, the greatest break, one that many never see coming. Yet there he is, clear as day, standing in front of me, awaiting my next breath. Perhaps death is the greatest gift I have in my life. Each moment I step forward, he steps back. I never know which will be the last. Yet, I live like I have miles to go when in reality, I might only have inches left. I don't need to be slapped awake again and again. I just have to stare death in his sockets and step forward with purpose, knowing that the next one isn't guaranteed. Live this way, and I won't have any choice but to be the greatest me. 65. I lie on the sofa and listen to a Wayne Dyer talk on YouTube. He was a friend of Cheryl, and they often headline conferences together. If you are what you think about, he says, then you have to get real careful what you think about. I like the firm conviction of truth in his voice. If you want to attract what's good in your life, but you're talking about what's missing, and you're thinking about what's missing, you will continue to expand what's missing. He definitely has my attention. I never talk about what's missing in my life. I only put my attention on what I intend to create. I sit up. He just unlocked the next level. Whatever it is you want to attract into your life, say to yourself, it's on its way. 4 words. Just get them tattooed inside of your eyelids. Then, he says something I fall in love with. Why have any of us learned to say, with my luck, and having it mean that things aren't going to work out? Why won't you say and have it as your habit? With my luck, it'll probably show faster than it normally does. Here's what happens. As you begin to shift the way you think, you can only act upon your thoughts. And as you start acting upon that thought, you start to become a collaborator with fate. He just nailed how I've been feeling lately, that life is working for my good. Waypoint 2 and Tabriz's map. After the video ends, I feel like even though Wayne passed away a few years ago, he just spoke directly to me. That's the beauty of the modern age. The wisdom and maps of others are available to us. Living them, that's our choice. 66. I'm in the bathroom, getting ready for bed. I stare at myself in the mirror and lean in close. An intense love rises inside. Wow, I think, looking into my eyes. Wow, they are so beautiful. As is the man who stares through them. How could I have forgotten? The love for myself flows. There is no trying, no having to repeat anything. It just flows. 67. And, as if my mind has a grand sense of humor, I devolve the next day. The missing rips through me hard. I walk around, barely able to keep it together. The 10 breaths are like rolling boulders uphill. But I manage to ask myself, what would The Rock do? He'd go have a full-on workout. So I do. At least I'm taking care of my body. Thank you, Mr. Rock. I return to the apartment and meditate. Near the end, as the music's ending, a voice deep within me says, "You're going to come to this fantastic." The thought feels true. Something inside me relaxes. If I was smart, I'd stay in that place. I'd make it last as long as I could. I'd repeat the 10 breaths. Instead, I call and leave her a message. "It's been a hard day," I say, "and I just needed to connect with you." My voice starts to crack. "I just wish what I would give to return home, our home, and you'd be there and I put my head by your heart. Home." I used to place my ear on her chest, listen to her heart. It was home. I feel like it's been ripped away. "Your heart," I say. "My home." I'm sobbing. It's not pretty. "Moment of weakness," I say. "Moment of weakness." Afterward, I stand there for a long time. I was planning on going out to see a friend, but something inside me says, "No. Be in this space. Feel it. Tonight is too important." So rather than distracting myself, I stay in. I walk around the apartment, I stare out the windows, I do the 10 breaths. No longer boulders, but still rocks. I'm tired of the suffering. I'm done. And then, I know what I must do. 68. I grab a notebook, turn it sideways, and write "heart" into the paper. I vow to love myself with everything I've got, in my thoughts, my actions, my words, because I am worthy of deep and full-on love. I date it. Then, I read it out loud 10 times. By the 5th, something inside starts to shift. I'm carving these words into my mind. I will read this out loud each morning, then live it. And if I stumble during the day, I'll read it aloud again with a ferocious intensity. Because that is what this vow deserves. Because that is what I deserve. 69. Pain is like a catapult. It launches me. The direction it takes me, that's my choice. But just like a projectile, I will eventually run out of energy and slow down. Pain can only take me so far. I need something that will pull me, not push. And as long as I give it what I got, it will return in kind. That's a vow. A vow to oneself is a pure and sacred act. As I stare at mine, the pencil lying across the page, I feel like a dent was just made in the universe. This is power. 70. Less than a half hour after I declare my vow, she calls me. There's a lot said about love on both sides. I cry, but nothing's changed. She's where she is, and I'm where I am. After the call ends, I stare at my vow. Something's bugging me. She said to me, "I think you love me more than I love you." That statement rings through my mind until I'm disgusted with myself. I need to put myself first. That vow will make sure I do. I go and take a long cold shower. When I return to the living room, I look out at the darkness beyond the windows, and then I get on my knees. I'm not exactly the praying kind, but here I am. God, I say, bigger than me, life, I need to give this over to you. I pause for a moment, searching deep inside. What arises surprises me a little, but the heart is what it is. My desire is that she and I together, joyfully, and we have a beautiful life together. That is what I want, and I give it over to you. So I do, and a weight lifts from my shoulders. Whatever results from this, I am okay with it. From this moment forward, I will only have one focus, keeping my vow. 71. Last year, a company I was advising got sold. I told the founders to wait. They finally had traction in the market, and their revenues were increasing month over month. They just had to keep doing what they were, and they would build a company of a lifetime. Worst case, they could sell for significantly more than the current lowball offer. But they sold. Months later, the CEO called and said that I was right. There's no harm in selling and taking cash off the table. Everyone made money. But this shows the difference between good and great. Good cashes out when things are decent. Great is patient and disciplined. It doesn't settle for decent and powers on forward. Entrepreneurship is full of such examples. Individuals starting with zero and building massive companies. They all have one thing in common. Founders with vision. This morning, while reading my vow aloud, I realized that a vow is a vision as well. There is no compromise in a vow. You're all in. And if you fall, it gives you something to get up for. You stand and dust yourself off, then return to it. Your vow leads you to greatness. 72. Giving it over doesn't mean giving up. I'm just handing over the weight of my desires to something bigger than me. And remarkably, the act itself settles that needing feeling inside. A butterfly flutters its wings in a rainforest, resulting in a tsunami halfway across the world. Life is so much more expansive than my mind can comprehend. I must trust in this. It will provide for me in ways greater than I could have imagined. 73. I walk over to where I did the forgiveness exercise. It's a cloudy evening. The parking lot's still damp from the afternoon's rain, and the sun has already set. I do my sprints. In my rest time, I repeat successions of the loving myself breaths. Finished, I sit on the high tide wall and listen to waves crash against rocks below. No sign of what I let go of just a few days ago. Life took it from me. I think of other things I'm holding against myself, and I open my palms and feel them drop. All so simple. The evening grows darker. Joggers run by with flashlights. When I think of her and the missing arises, I open my palms again, wide, and give it over to greater than me. So much better than the needless chatter in my head. I think of Wayne Dyer's quote and laugh, saying to myself, with my luck, magic will come faster than I imagined. It feels good to think this. It feels real. And why not? Whatever I believe is the filter that life shines through. It's up to me to choose one that makes me smile from the inside out. 74. A friend messages me. He's an expat living in Bali. My girlfriend has a theater healer / therapist, he says. She says she's amazing. I'd like to gift you a session. I have no idea what a theater whatchamacallit is, but I don't care. When life sends a gift, you accept. It's a little out there, he says. Are you okay with that? I spent enough of my life in Northern California. Bring on the woo-woo. Next thing I know, I'm in a Skype session with a blonde Swedish woman named Erica in Ubud. She has a center presence about her, warm and caring. It's like she glows. Okay, Worst case, I get to talk to a nice glowy person. She walks me through our process, asking a series of questions about my beliefs, and something pops out. They always leave me, I find myself saying. Anytime I love a woman deeply, she leaves me. I can't believe what's coming out, but it fits. This has been a pattern as far as I can remember. And her, I say, I loved her. It was real in every way. And she loved me. I would have bet everything that this wouldn't have happened. I tell Erica about the time my mother left when I was a child. My father's beatings had gotten worse, and she couldn't take it anymore. What it felt like to not be able to touch her. But this was something I thought I'd resolved already. Besides, my mother returned, so why this pattern? Erica guides me through other points in my life. My father, the molester, early relationships, and in all of them, that same belief snaking itself tighter. I want to throw up. If that's my filter, any surprise how my life's played out? I'm so tired of this, I say. Good, she says, smiling. It's time to let it go. She does her theta work, and you know what? I actually feel myself release it. It just goes. Poof. Afterward, we work on a new belief. I think through my list and decide upon this. I am a magnificent man, and the woman I love loves me deeply and stays with me, and we have a fantastic life together. Then I talk about her. Through all of this, through all of the letting go, I still love her. She says she's going through something, I say, that it's not about me. Erica closes her eyes, is quiet for a long time. Then believe her, she finally says. Before, it seemed impossible. My insecurities were running the show, but loving myself has weakened them. Okay, I nod, and I love her, no matter what. I must let my heart be what it is. A couple days later, my friend messages me. My girlfriend bumped into Erica at the supermarket, and Erica said that you inspired her. I take it in and believe it. The old me who used to downplay compliments is gone. I accept the gifts that life offers. Then I pull up my list and add to it. I inspire healers. 75. It's night. I'm curled up on the sofa, watching sheets of rain under street lamps. And container ship quietly glides through the bay, crosses under the bridge, and heads out to the open Pacific. I haven't watched TV, read the news, or checked out what's happening on social media for almost a month. I could have lost myself in all sorts of distractions, but instead, I faced the fire and worked in my mind and body. I gave my all to my writing, to creating something special through this experience. The man who comes through this will be far better than the one who went in. That is loving myself. 76. Another difficult day. Missing feels like a gaping hole in my chest. I grab an Uber to see Matt for follow-up work. The driver doesn't look at me directly, and then I realize that he has burn marks across his face and on his hands. It's an hour's drive and gives me time to lose myself in thought. I do the 10 breaths, but more in survival mode. As the car winds down Highway 280, I eye the driver's hands on the steering wheel. Everyone's got scars. Whether outside or inside, they're there. Focusing on mine keeps me in darkness. It rewires old patterns. I think of Wayne Dyer only thinking about what he wanted to create. That's focusing on the light. At Matt's office, Lisa draws my blood. When she's done, she puts her hand on my shoulder, squeezes it tight. The way she smiles, she must have sensed that I needed it. Life is giving me love, always, and I accept it. 77. Let's be honest. I coasted for a long while, meditating only when it was convenient, when I got around to it. When was the last time before rug flip that I loved myself consistently? Life was going good, I got lazy, and then I had the injury and focused on what was wrong rather than what worked. What did I expect? The mind is plastic, no different than the body. Quit exercising for a year and live on donuts? See what happens. I cash out a decent when I should have continued to great. I must take responsibility for this. And whether I like it or not, I've been shaken awake. I must use this. There will be tough days again. I cannot let them slide me back. I've already made my vow. I already know how to apply it. The next step is to create a series of rituals that make me do it consistently, like brushing my teeth, so that no matter the storms, I always move forward. 78. Observe a man's mind and you have a bird's eye view to his destiny. Everything starts from within. Therefore, it's crucial to create habits of the mind. I write down what I'll do daily to keep my vow. Upon waking, 10 breaths. Then, coffee and read vow aloud. Then meditate. In shower, 10 breaths. Whenever walking or idle, 10 breaths. At the gym, resting between sets, 10 breaths. Before bed, looking into eyes in mirror and saying, I love myself, until something shifts inside. In bed, falling asleep, 10 breaths. Lots to remember? Not really. There's a pattern here of intensity after waking and before sleep. Then, during the day, whenever the mind is idle, 10 breaths. Simple. This is my line in the sand, the bare minimum to keep my vow. So even if there are rough days, I'll continue deepening the grooves, because I am worth it. 79. I once read a book where the author mentioned that he'd been able to get whatever he wanted by using affirmations. Each day, he'd write down 15 times, I, name, will, and then state what he wanted. He was an extremely rational guy, trying this out of curiosity, and once it worked, he just used it. He had nothing to sell. This wasn't what the book was about. In fact, it was almost an afterthought. He was sheepish about it, more sharing because, well, once you discover a truth that works, that's what you should do. He tried rationalizing it, saying that affirmations focus the mind on what to pay attention to. A reasonable explanation. But he also said that many things he used this for were out of his control, and yet they came. I met him, and over dinner and drinks, asked him about it. All true, he said. In person, he gave no rationalization. He'd come to believe that they tapped into some fabric of reality that couldn't be explained. Makes sense. We can rationalize our lives away, but deep down, we yearn for what is bigger, to flow with it. And when we find a way to do it, even if we never share it out of fear of ridicule, it comforts us. There are no atheists in foxholes under heavy bombardment. So, all this repetition of loving myself, is it just an affirmation? Maybe. Is it a rewiring of neural pathways in my brain? After all, it's well known that neurons that fire together wire together. The more you fire and wire them, the stronger the pathway, and the more it fires on its own. Sure, reasonable explanation. But does this explain the shifts that are happening in my life? The opportunities popping up, things I didn't know how to make happen naturally happening on their own? Maybe. I could take each, break it down, and rationalize it away. But does that serve me? My belief is the magnifying glass that life shines through. The maps and beliefs of humanity are available to me. I must pick what speaks to me, then go all in. Life rewards me when I take a stand, when I say, this is what I believe in, and I'm going to live it fully. Not when I coast. That's the truth I've learned. I hit the gym. Already, I'm in the best shape I've been in years. My diet is on point, no exceptions. Whenever I'm tempted to cheat or slide, I ask myself, if I love myself, what would I do? The answer is clear, and I live it. Each time I live the answer, I reinforce the pathway of making loving choices for myself. I used to do this before, but I'm on a whole different level. That's what happens when you do everything to keep your vow. Watch your mind some time, and you'll realize that it's always answering questions. Fear is an answer to what could go wrong. Pain is an answer to what's missing. You'll quickly realize that the mind naturally goes for the negative, not the light. So you must consciously ask yourself empowering questions, ones that result in you making loving choices for yourself. Do this for a while, and you'll need to ask them less. Living the answers will have become habit. 81. Years ago, over dinner, a friend told me that she died and was brought back. Clinically dead for 8 minutes, the real thing. I had to ask, did anything happen while you were, you know? She shook her head. She didn't remember a thing. Then she glanced around, put her fork down, and whispered, "What if this is heaven?" She leaned back and watched me. "I died," she said. "How do I know that this isn't the other side?" It was one of those moments where time stood still. I felt like someone just bonked me on the head. Neither of us spoke for a while. "So that's how I live," she finally said. "Like this is heaven." One heck of a belief. 82. I stop by Matt's office. He's out of town, but I'm getting an IV with vitamins and all sorts of good stuff. Why? Self-care is loving yourself. Lisa walks into the room to put in my IV. "Oh, those are so pretty," she says, staring at the flowers by the window. She fluffs up a warming pad, places it under my arms, then gently inserts the needle in my hand. She tells me that she took Zumba this morning, which made her feel good all day. Then her face goes soft. Her son used to work out in that gym. Sometimes when she took classes, she'd watch him exercise through the glass wall. "People say that I should cut down," she says. "I've got pictures of him everywhere, on my phone. But I don't want to. He's a part of me." She clips the tube to the needle, gets the fluid going, then wraps my hand with a red bandage. "Finished?" she sighs. "But I suppose I should." Would she say that this was heaven? I don't ask. Here she is, still appreciating the moments of beauty in the day, smiling to our patients, taking care of them in our gentle and loving way, creating little slices of heaven with her presence. "I almost got a tattoo this week," she says. "Didn't happen, but I will. What do you think? Name on my wrist or a bird?" "Bird," I say. "A symbol's better." I tell her about my favorite symbol, the lotus, rising through the muck, opening to the light. She smiles. Symbol it is. She gathers the waste and leaves. I think about my symbol again. A lotus doesn't force itself to open to receive the light. It's the other way around. The light opens it. All the work I'm doing to love myself, there must be a level above. But there is no effort, no fighting against resistance, just allowing myself to receive the love that was mine all along. 83. So I do it. In bed at night, I repeat the 10 breaths until I fall asleep. But this time, there is no forcing. I breathe deeper, slower, feeling love enter. No resistance, just receiving what is mine. I wake up smiling. Then, I immediately turn to the 10 breaths, receiving my love, receiving the light. 84. Why 10 breaths? Because it's easy to remember. Large enough that it causes a slight shift each time. Small enough to bypass any excuse. Most importantly, it keeps you consistent to your commitment to love yourself. But this doesn't mean that you do a few 10 breaths a day and you're good to go. It is the bare minimum. The more you give of yourself, the more you receive. In fact, do stretches of 10 minutes of nonstop 10 breaths. Replace something that would have filled your time but not contributed to your well-being with this. It's your healing. It's your life. give yourself the attention you deserve. 85. Nighttime is perfect for the 10-minute stretches of 10 breaths. I'm in bed, winding down the day, so it's easier to layer love into my subconscious. I set a timer. Then, with each in-breath, I expand my chest and allow love and light to enter. When I breathe out, I let go of whatever goes. That's it. Sometimes, I repeat, I love myself with the in-breath. Sometimes, I don't. But with each, I let myself feel it. That's turning out to be the most important part, feeling. This is also a great way to remove the gunk and emotional charge built up over the day. Better to drop it here than carry the weight into tomorrow. 86. In 2 days, I'll fly to New York. I imagine the apartment I'll walk into, her things gone, the closet's empty. I wonder what it'll feel like, but who knows? All I know is that no matter what, I am a magnificent man who started loving himself again. That is going to be another starting point. I will fiercely love myself from there. 87. I stop by Matt's office again. I fly out tomorrow morning. When I see Lisa, I give her the gift I brought. It's a light device I recently bought to stimulate vitamin D production. Last week, she mentioned that she'd borrowed a unit and it made her feel good, and she was saving up to buy one. "Are you sure?" she says, almost hugging it. "Can I pay you something?" "It's a gift," I say. "The point is to accept it." "It's easier for me to give," she says, "not to receive." That's why you should receive even more. I'm being myself again, smiling more, giving. I'm better in so many ways than just a month ago. My heart still hurts, but a heart that loves us deeply will feel both ways. There's a beauty in that, too. I'm still in the early stages. I know that. The longer I love myself, the more the effects compound. But still, could my progress have been faster? Honestly, yes. I should have taken my own advice. It would have led me to forgiving myself and making my vow immediately. There is something special about those acts. Life shifts in your favor the moment you do them. But I'd coasted for too long. No surprise then that I got caught up in my head and what had gone wrong rather than what I knew to do. The mind is tricky that way. Left to its own devices, it will put what we need the most last. That's okay. I forgive myself for that, too. That's loving myself. 88. So how does this whole thing work? Do you decide to love yourself and then winning lottery tickets rain down from above and you never have another care in the world? It's more beautiful and nuanced than that. Things do start to work. Experiences and resources out of your reach find you. I've seen it happen again and again. But you have to step up to them. You have to go where they take you. And if ever confused about what to do, just ask if you're taking action from love or fear. Make it love, always. Another thing that happens is that you get internal nudges, often in meditation, things to do, people to reach out to, what to say. Listen to these. This is life guiding you. You also get honest and real in your interactions. Your mind is too important to distract itself with conversations full of nothing. You find yourself expressing things that you thought for years but held back, afraid of how the other might take it. You do this for kindness. Don't be surprised if it sometimes creates conflict, but interestingly, it raises your relationships to a whole different level. Along with this realness comes greater discernment about who you allow in your life. You're clear with yourself about their intentions. No justifications, no projections, zero excuses. Because eventually, those intentions will catch up with you. Your life is too important for poor intentions. Many of your fears naturally lessen. After all, they're just old mental loops. You start to see through the hallucinated snakes. And when confused, you ask yourself if the thought was from love or fear. That resolves that. The greatest shift? You start letting go. What you held against yourself, what you held against others, the guilt, the shame, the pain, the needless suffering. As you drop the weight, you realize the truth. Illusions of the mind, all. What is left is you, reborn, giving yourself love. You live from this place. Lastly, you find yourself having moments of gratitude. Sometimes they rise out of nowhere. Sometimes from the way that life is unfolding for you. Do you achieve perfection? Not if you're human. But you're vastly better than before. How do you know for sure? Simple. Just observe your thoughts. And since your thoughts determine your destiny, your reality shifts to reflect them. Hippocrates said, "Let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food." Tweak it to this. Let thoughts be thy medicine, and medicine be thy thoughts. 89. If I were to boil this down for you, what would I say? I'd say, don't wait until you need to. Start this very moment. Go all in on loving yourself. First, forgive yourself. This wipes the slate clean. Next, make the vow. It is a declaration to yourself and life on who you'll be. The act itself is a defining moment. Then, do everything it takes to keep it. Step up to love, and life will step up in return. I'd also say, don't coast. No matter how good it gets, no matter what excuses the mind creates, don't coast. Go all in again and again. Then, I'd say one more thing. Share what you learned from this. In sharing your experience, you are better, and the world is better. It's that simple. 90. Rainy morning in San Francisco. Bags packed, the place clean. It's time to head to the airport. I fill my cup with water and walk to the plants one last time. What I see makes me grin. In the large one, among the dead-looking branches, rise two beautiful bright green leaves, both from the same spot, like the unfolding of a heart. I stand there for a while, admiring them. When you give love, life returns. From me. If you found this audiobook helpful, please review and share it. That helps it find its way to those who need it. This would mean a lot to me. Thank you. And please feel free to email me at k@founderzen.com. This is Kamal Ravikant. This production of Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It, presented by Harper One and Harper Audio, was directed by Zane Birdwell and recorded at John Marshall Media in New York City. Engineered by Kyle Haglund. It was produced by John Marshall Media. Executive producer, Iris McElroy. Text copyright 2020 by Kamal Ravikant. Production copyright 2020 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.